content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Wild Foods, small batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Wild Foods was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off all their products and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Do you want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Alicia Hopper, Aviana Barrientos, Sean Wells, Adriana Stevenson, and I've got a whole room full of people here. I've got Christy Scott in studio, and Shelley Wells, and Sean's mom is in studio. I can't remember your mom's name.
Donna.
That's it. You look like a Donna. The lovely Donna. That's a pretty name.
I had a girl.
Yeah. Go ahead and sing it.
Aww.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny. But always great to have you in studio. I'm excited about today's show because Adriana has an incredible story. Keto for My Kid is her topic. And she's got an incredible story about her son's brain tumor treatment journey. And, of course, Sean Wells. Always great to have Sean Wells in studio. For those of you maybe just now joining us for the first time, Sean Wells is a registered dietitian and certified sports nutritionist. He's a fellow in the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and he has his master's of public health in nutritional biochemistry. And you're just going to add along with this keto craze that we're talking about today on the air and how it is so, what do I want to say? What can I legally say, Sean Wells?
Profoundly therapeutic, I believe, would be.
Yeah, profoundly therapeutic for a lot of different things. Patty DiBernardo is listening right now. She recently got a diagnosis of eye cancer, which has moved to her lung, and she's going to be getting on the ketogenic diet as well to help with that metabolic fight, if you will. And it's so great to have you guys in studio. It is. And, you know, did you know that it's National Walk Your Dog Day?
I didn't know that. And I haven't walked my dog yet. I won't say no, where my dog is.
I've been walking Charlie every night now instead of him letting run all over the property and making me, you know, lose my mind when I can't find him.
Give him some structure.
I give him some structure. So now he's you know, dogs need structure, just like kids need structure. I'm 100%. Finding that. They do. And we all need structure. And I always love having Maura Davies on the show. She is the Vice President of Communications at the SPCA. That's the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals of North Texas. You can find SPCA at spca.org. Always a pleasure. Maura, how are you doing today?
Doing great. Always so wonderful to be here talking about all the animal issues.
Oh, I know. I know. And, you know, every time we get a cold snap and I'm walking, you know, back to visit Tom and Willie or walking Charlie, I always think all the poor dogs out there that don't have any protection from the cold or maybe aren't getting fed enough to keep them warm. And so everyone out there listening, take good care of your animals because they love you very much. And you should show them your love by taking really good care of them, right? Maura?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Pets give us so much.
They do. They really do. And, you know, today we are highlighting 20 dog walking tips. I could use some of these. I haven't even read them yet. That will make your make your walks more enjoyable for both you and your dog. I could use some of this. So let's go through them. The first one is use a front clip harness if your dog pulls on a leash.
Yeah, so there are a couple of different options. You can use a front clip harness, which is just what it sounds like, a nice comfy harness, and it clips on the front instead of the back. There's another option out there. It's actually a leash called a Weiss walkie, and it's a leash that actually clips onto a regular collar that then that leash loops around underneath your dog's behind their front legs underneath and comes back around to the top. Both of these are humane. They are gentle. They're not hurting. Like, don't use the prong collars, y'all.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Try literally anything else, but a front clip harness or a Weiss walkie can work wonders, because if your pet is pulling, if you have that front clip harness where they kind of feel the leash right there, they'll say, have a better chance of saying, "Oh, wait a second, let's not pull." But there's even more you can do. If that doesn't solve it, then you can actually use treat-based training to train your dog to walk nicely.
Okay.
Every time they walk nicely on a leash, give them a treat.
So you bribe them.
Yeah. Bribery. Bribery works.
Well, what is it called? The wife? What is it? Is that the word I'm hearing over the airways? Because I'm having trouble hearing it. The first one that you were talking about, the wife?
Yes. Weiss walkie, I believe it's W-E-I-S-S.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then walkie, like... Yeah, well, like that sounds.
I thought you were saying wife walkie. I was like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Not wife. Yeah, not W-I-S-E, no, W-E-I-S-S. I think it's the person who
invented
it.
I didn't even know that harnesses, they had ones that clipped on the front. I've never seen them. All the ones I have, you know, clip on the back. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not very many, but they are out there if you look, especially, you know, online. But they can be lifesavers sometimes, because if people out there who have those dogs that pull, it can be a humane solution, and let's definitely focus on the humane portion.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't like those. I know someone that used one of those, you know, those metal pinch collars for a long time. It drove me crazy. I was like, you got to get rid of that. It's just so awful.
Yep.
But but those are good to know. And so you said, and you can reward them. So for example, if they get a little rambunctious, if they get rambunctious, you tell them no. And then when they behave well, then you give them the treat. Is that how it works?
Well, sort of. What I would advise doing is wait until your pet is doing something good. So don't punish them for something that's not good, but reward them when something is good.
Okay.
And if you are consistent and you stick with it, that will work. I have seen miracles happen.
Wow.
Bribery works, y'all.
I can't wait to try some of this stuff. I'm already doing some of it as I'm looking down the list. Mm-hmm. But there's one that you said that let your dog sniff around for mental stimulation. Did they? You know, I wondered that. Even last night, as I was trying to get Charlie to do his business, and he was having trouble doing number two. And I'm like, I wonder what it is. You know, because he's sniffing around. He acts like he's gonna go into the position, and then he was like, no, I'm gonna go look over here, sniff over here. So what is it about that mental stimulation? What are they sniffing for exactly?
You know, dogs don't see as well as we think they do, at least most dogs. But dog smell is, I forget what the actual percentage is, but it's like they smell a million times. That's not exactly it. But they smell so much more than we can smell. Dogs get physical exercise when they walk, and their brain, their nose and their brain gets mental exercise when they sniff. So giving your dog a little bit of time to sniff around, they're getting information, they're keeping track of what's happening, they're thinking, oh, this dog was here, and that person was there, and oh, this car came by.
Interesting.
It can actually help them in their just general happiness. But some dogs out there, really, they've got a routine, and sometimes they'll develop a new routine. So if they maybe need a little extra time to sniff, just consider that extra time that's helping them work up to number two. Because sometimes we all need a little help with that.
Yeah, and then I'm reading here that says don't use a retractable leash. I've had nightmare experiences with those retractable leashes. So I'll let you reiterate why they're so bad.
There are so many hazards that come with the retractable leashes. Oh, my gosh. So if you lose control of the leash, your dog runs out to the street. Let's not even complete that sentence because it's horrible. The locks that they have on those leashes can break. And then your dog's in the road and then the car. And then I don't want to finish that sentence for the same reason for the last.
Oh, gosh.
So they can cause injuries to people and animals. So just imagine if you got one of those retractable leashes with the little skinny thing that's the lead line. if you grab onto that and your dog is running, you're going to get a really severe burn probably. And in extreme cases, you could lose a finger. And
oh, wow.
Then when your dog reaches the end of that, if they're running, that jerk can cause you to fall over, maybe even fall on your dog, and that could cause you both serious injuries.
Yeah.
If you use a regular leash, they're great. You can get long ones,
mm-hmm.
all kinds of options.
Yeah, there are all kinds. Yeah, there's cloth ones. There's everything.
Yep.
They have some new plastic ones made out of like, I don't know what, but they're like a really heavy duty plastic, even though we're trying to keep our plastic down on the planet. I don't know if they might be another. I'll have to look into it, actually, because I actually bought one with the matching collar. But and I am saying, I'm reading here, always pick up after your dog. That should be like a no brainer, right?
Seriously, I know people are like, I don't want to deal with it, but if you do not pick up after your pet, not only are you breaking the law, but you could be promoting the contamination of water. Pets can pick up Giardia, E. coli, roundworms, hookworms, salmonella. And imagine if other people's dogs who you don't know where they've been have any of that, and they excrete that, their pet goes to the bathroom and they don't pick it up. That's going to go into your water supply. It's going to go potentially into your pet and your everywhere you live, and just don't.
Good point.
It's illegal and it's disgusting.
Well, and here's my, it is. It's kind of gross. You should pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Even at your home, of course, you know, maybe not
Absolutely.
Every single time, but maybe every other day if you have an area where your animal uses the restroom, uses the outdoors.
Yeah.
But my favorite one here, and this is something that drives me crazy when people don't have proper identification on their pets.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And it's easy. Like, there are so many places that sell tags for your pets. You can get those collars and or leashes that have your pets, your phone number embroidered on them.
Oh, wow.
Microchipping is a must. There are way too many easy, cheap options out there, because if your pet gets away and other people don't have a way of identifying your pet will not come back, and that will just heartbreaking. I can't even consider that. So make sure every time you leave the house with your dog, they have appropriate ID. There are also state laws out there. So, you know, pets need to be vaccinated against rabies. That's state law. That's a deadly disease that can hit both pets and people.
Mm-hmm.
So up to date on those rabies vaccinations, make sure they have their tags and microchip your pets.
Absolutely.
Those are biggies.
And watch out for hot or freezing pavement. You know, that's a lot of people forget about that. It's really important. You can burn your dog's feet or freeze them. And I'm reading here, keep your dogs focused by bringing along high-value treats and ask before approaching other dogs, and wear reflective gear if you're walking during the evening. All great advice. Brought to you by the SPCA of North Texas. Maura Davies, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
All right, everyone. You can visit the SPCA.org. They're always looking for donations. Check it out at SPCA.org. We will be right back with Sean Wells and Adriana Stevenson talking about Keto for Kids. Stay tuned, everyone. Someday we'll live our lives out loud. I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. All right. Going to the Rolling Stones, Sean Wells?
I did not know about this.
What? You did not? What?
I got the moves like Jagger. So
I know
tell
you
me.
Do.
Tell
no,
me.
Well, I'm going. It's
when?
It's in
May.
It's
at
in
the
May.
Cotton Bowl?
Aviana's
yep.
going to
I played this just for you.
Yeah, thank you
I'm
so
going
much.
Too, so I'll
are
see you,
you
there.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
have a party.
It is
oh,
going to be.
Come on.
You got it. Oh, my gosh.
Get
I'm
on
so
it.
Excited
Stones.
About the Stones being in
Rolling
town
Stones.
Again. I mean, how old are they?
I was just going to say.
They got to be
they
like
never
pushing,
stop.
Like, I'm thinking Mick
70s.
Jagger's got to be
70s.
Like 75, mm-hmm. 77,
yeah.
something like that.
That's incredible.
It'll be interesting to see how well he can dance still.
76. That's awesome. Wow.
76.
And
they started...
It. Love it.
In like 66, 67 or something.
Something
like
that.
They've been around.
And didn't he just have heart surgery?
Probably. Yes. Yes,
yeah.
he did have heart surgery.
Formed in 1962.
Yeah, but he's still rolling.
62.
yeah.
Holy moly.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
That is so many
so
decades.
You got to get tickets.
Insane.
So you guys need to get tickets. You really do.
The 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s knots or whatever you want to call them. The 10s and the 20s. Wow.
I know.
That's
right?
insanity.
A long time.
Yep. Yep. So right here in the, it's at the Cotton Bowl too. That's where I saw him. Last time I think I saw him in El Paso. I've seen him like four or five times.
Amazing.
And they never disappoint. I can tell you that. So I hope you get your ticket, Sean Wells.
I want to now. I'm on it.
You need to be on it. All right.
I love it.
Well, it's great to have you in studio as always. And we have your dear friend, Adriana Stevenson. She's a local girl here from Dallas. She lives in Richardson and she is a brain tumor parent, ketogenic diet advocate, and real food crusader. In 2016, her world was turned upside down when her 19-month-old son was diagnosed with a large brain tumor. Shortly after starting chemotherapy, her research led her to the metabolic theory of cancer, and she put her son on a therapeutic ketogenic diet. This life-changing journey has ignited a passion for helping others and families navigate metabolic therapies for their children and to educate them on the efficacy of the ketogenic diet. She hopes to empower others by sharing evidence-based research alongside practical tips for everyday keto living. On Instagram, you can find her at Keto for My Kid. That's at Keto for My Kid. Such a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. What an intro.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Hey, you're out there doing it, girl. And I think it's so cool that you're in studio with us talking about it. And I have my friend Christy Scott here as well, who's entertaining getting on the ketogenic diet for her son as well. So a different circumstance, but nonetheless, it is a very therapeutic diet. And we know that the ketogenic diet has been around and being used for diseases like epilepsy for over 100 years now. So lots to talk about here. And Sean Wells is also a keto expert. He is a registered dietitian, certified sports nutritionist, fellow in the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and has his Master's of Public Health in Nutritional Biochemistry. He has been dubbed the world's greatest formulator of nutritional supplements. And Sean has been on TV, documentaries, radio, podcasts, and spoke on all stages all over the world, and is one of the most respected experts in supplements, nutrition, keto, and biohacking. He has used keto, fasting supplements, and biohacking to overcome a pituitary tumor, autoimmunity with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, Hashimoto's, and Epstein-Barr, along with depression, obesity, and more. And now he's here to help you.
Yes.
You can find Sean Wells at seanwells.com, and that's S-H-A-W-N-W-E-L-L-S, seanwells.com, or on Instagram at Zone Halo. Okay, let's dig into this, you guys.
Let's go.
Keto for My Kid. Okay, so Adriana, can you tell us a little bit about your son's brain tumor treatment journey? I'm just so interested about how all of this began.
Absolutely. So my son Parker, he's 5 now. He was a perfectly healthy baby, born at 41 weeks, 8 pounds, 14 ounces. He met every developmental milestone earlier on time his first year of life. And around 14 months, I noticed that he started using his left hand like predominantly, and you'd give him a toy in his right hand, he'd immediately pass it to his left. And that seemed really strange to me. My husband is left-handed and was like, oh, he's going to be a lefty like me.
Yeah.
And I have someone to give my golf clubs to. And
right.
It just seemed really early to me. He also was really wobbly on his feet. And everybody told me, well, toddlers toddle. That's what they do.
Right.
And all of these little kind of nagging things in my mind, everybody dismissed. I was a first-time mom and just worrying about nothing.
Right.
And then when he was like 16 months old, it was bath time one night. And he had a toy in the water, submerged in the water, and he could not grasp it with his right hand. Like he the resistance of the water was too much for him. And that for me was a real wake up call. Like something is really wrong here.
Mommy intuition.
A mother should always listen to their intuition.
Yeah.
They always should. A lot of doctors,
powerful.
A lot of people dismiss it, and it's wrong. No one knows your child better than the mother.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, and the thing is, he had been so body confident as an infant, and then all of a sudden to have this toddler who is falling down a lot and doing other things, it wasn't in character for him.
Well, and how scary, too, because when they're that young, they can't communicate really well and tell you what's going
on.
I feel this, mommy. I feel that. I mean, it's very scary when they're that young.
Exactly. And so at his 18-month well baby visit, I finally told our pediatrician, like, listen, something's wrong here. I don't know what it is. And he's very old school. And he didn't say much, but he referred us to a neurologist who did an assessment, said, well, Parker looks good, but his right hand, that's really abnormal. And at that point, she would blow bubbles down at him to try to get him to extend that pointer finger to pop them. And he could barely extend his right pointer finger to pop them and had like no control over it. So she ordered an MRI of the brain and the top of the spine. This is July of 2016. We went in for a sedated MRI, and I think back now and I was so worried about that initial sedation, and now I'm like, oh, that's nothing compared to everything we've been through.
Right.
And about an hour into it, we had to sign consent forms for contrast dye, which was not a good...
And it can kill you.
Yeah.
Contrast dye can kill you.
And I... They didn't say anything. We get home 15 minutes later. Our neurologist called us and said, well, I know why Parker's having a hard time with his right hand. And I said, okay. She said, you need to sit down. And he has a large brain tumor in the middle of his head. We don't know much more than that and it was like, I mean, still get chills. It was shattering for us. And from there, we had a frantic 4 days till we could find a pediatric neurosurgeon here in Dallas who would take our case, because my husband and I were both contracting and on Obamacare in 2016. And some hospitals in this Dallas area would not see our son.
Wow.
And so we actually had to wait 4 days to see the MRI images. And they're stunning. If you get a chance to go on to any of my social media, I post it, and it's really, it takes your breath away.
Wow.
And we met with an amazing neurosurgeon at Medical City Dallas. Can't say enough wonderful things about David Sacco. He is a miracle maker. And Parker went in for surgery 10 days later to partially debulk it. His tumor is, it was around the hypothalamus, so very central part of the brain.
Yeah.
Very difficult to access. We went into surgery knowing that a gross total resection would be impossible. The goal was to try to relieve as much pressure. He didn't have hydrocephalus yet, but that was a huge, that was a big worry for us.
Right.
And so, but surgery went really well. He removed about 70% of it. We spent 4 days in the hospital. How crazy is that?
Right.
And went home and watched and waited for about 3 months, because we had no idea what would happen.
What were those months like as a mom?
They were, I was so relieved, frankly, that he woke up and that he was the same child on the other side of surgery. That was my biggest concern. There was a lot of upheaval in our lives, moving houses, my mom living with us. I mean, just a lot of things going on. At one time, we were so grateful that he had lived, and I am such an optimist still. And I really thought that maybe it would be enough to kind of shock that tumor into stopping to grow, which I didn't know anything about how tumors grew at that time. So I really had this, I was an optimist about it. And he seemed to get a little bit better with his hand, because right before surgery, the fingers were almost permanently in a clawed position. I mean, we saw him every single week get worse and worse. And so that had gotten better. So I thought, well, maybe this was working. And so fast forward about 3.5 months post-surgery, we go in for his MRI, and it shows that not only is the active tumor growing, that the space is almost as large as it was to begin with. There was a new cystic portion. The type of tumor he has is called a pilocytic astrocytoma. It's a type of glioma, low grade, but that doesn't mean anything in your brain either.
Yeah.
And so from there, he was too young to consider more surgery, and it wouldn't have been successful anyways. So within basically 48 hours, we had to agree to a chemotherapy protocol, get him into general surgery for a metaport, go inpatient, and within a week from a bad MRI, we were sitting in the hospital with chemo being pumped into our newly turned 2-year-old.
Okay. Well, that's a good time to take a break, because when we get back, I'm going to ask you, how did you find out about a ketogenic diet for cancer?
Perfect.
More coming up. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Remember.
Do you remember? You guys go ahead. How do you always find, you make friends with all these women that can dance and sing so well, Sean?
It's just who I am.
Exaggeration.
Because he dances and sings.
Because he dances and sings too. Yeah, there you go. Like likes like, right?
Exactly.
Well, it's so good to have you guys in studio today. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos. We've got Adriana Stevenson in studio and Sean Wells. Adriana is a brain tumor parent, ketogenic diet advocate, and a real food crusader. In 2016, her world was turned upside down when her 19-month-old son, Parker, was diagnosed with a large brain tumor. Shortly after starting chemotherapy, her research led her to the metabolic theory of cancer, and she put her son on a therapeutic ketogenic diet. This life-changing journey has ignited a passion for helping other families navigate metabolic therapies for their children and to educate on the efficacy of the ketogenic diet. She hopes to empower others by sharing evidence-based research along with practical tips for everyday keto living. You can find Adriana on Instagram at Keto for My Kid. You were doing such a great job explaining your journey, and I want to get back to it. Right before we went to break, you were getting ready to tell us how you found out about a ketogenic diet for cancer. So how did that happen?
So about 3 months into Parker's 18-month chemo protocol, so a year and a half of chemo, about 3 months in, after the first MRI post-chemo where things were pretty much stable, I realized that this was a marathon. It was not a sprint, and that it was not going to go away with chemotherapy alone. And so I finally had enough kind of mental breathing room to refocus on what I knew. I knew that food mattered, and I had been on a real food quest myself for many years prior to even getting pregnant with Parker. And so I finally had enough mental space to say, okay, well, he's alive. He's going to live. He's going to survive this. We want him to survive as intact as possible.
Right.
And so
did you and Sean know each other yet at that point?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
And so three kind of magical things happened about 3 months post starting chemo. The first was I had a neighbor friend actually drop off the book you're looking at there, Tripping Over the Truth by Travis Christofferson.
Got it right here.
And they're really into ancestral living, and we had bonded on a lot of other things. And my neighbor was like, you need to read this. And I don't know why, it just, you know, everyone has an opinion when somebody has a
diagnosis.
Well,
they're just trying to help.
Right. And there was just, I trusted him, and just the way he said it, I said, okay. And so reading that book was one of the most profound things that has happened in my life, because it ultimately, I had to understand the science behind how this tumor grew and developed.
Yeah.
And it was, instead of just this, you know, untamed beast, it was something that I could try to actually understand. Not that you can control it, but you can understand it. And the other two things that happened, one, I was on a Facebook group for parents with these type of low-grade pediatric gliomas, and a mom had put her post up about how her daughter had the same exact tumor as my son. Same location, same genetic mutation.
Makes you wonder what it is, what caused it in our environment.
I'm
That's where
sure
my mind goes.
Some multi-generational epigenetic factors.
You think so?
Is
okay.
my best guess with what I've done. But that's a different story.
Okay.
But one of the things, she had started her daughter on a ketogenic diet on day one of her chemo protocol, and they were about a year or so ahead of us, and her daughter's tumor was gone. And I said, I knew it. I knew food mattered. And then the third thing was she got me connected with Max Love Project, which is a nonprofit in Orange County, California, that helps support childhood cancer families in a very real way of looking at whole child wellness, sleep, community, exercise, food. And they're big proponents of the ketogenic diet. Mm-hmm. And they actually, and also evidence-based research to be able to give our doctors.
Right.
And they gave me a 10-page annotated bibliography of research, clinical studies. I mean, you name it. And I didn't ask our doctor's permission. I just slid it across the table and said, we're doing it, and this is why. And I want you to
good
know
for
because
you.
I'm going to be asking for more blood work.
Well, good for you. Well, you know, we started talking about the ketogenic diet many, many years ago with Dr. Yep. Thomas Seyfried, Dr. Joey Antonio, you, Alan, all of us, you know, we're very interested in the ketogenic diet for a lot of different reasons, mostly cancer at the top of that list, and epilepsy as well. Of course, that information had already been out there. But it's very interesting to me, too, about epilepsy in particular, that they will, you know, prescribe drug after drug after drug, and they don't work. And we've known about the ketogenic diet. diet, like I said, for over 100 years. And yet most doctors never broach that subject with their patients.
Yeah, it's sad. Obviously, because there's money to be made on Keppra and these other drugs, and they're harsh and they have a lot of side effects. But two, I think doctors think that they're tied into this insurance system, pharmaceutical system, the standards of care, SOC, like in the hospital, that a diet almost seems woo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it doesn't seem like it's truly therapeutic. That
it's everything.
It's just food. And we've been taught that real medicine is surgery. Real medicine is drugs.
Right.
You know, real medicine is experts at high levels, and it's not food.
Yeah.
And I know as a dietitian, like how belittled I was often in that kind of holistic, group of clinicians, like when you have a pharmacist, a doctor, the nurse, the dietitian, like the dietitian's almost like, you're the least important part.
Well, yeah, like the American Heart Association, all these associations where they follow their criteria, right? Aren't they basically forced to?
Yeah, 100%. And that was one of the things I got frustrated with, is that especially like in a nursing home, and we had federal and state survey teams come in. We, in a hospital, you have something called JACO. You have all these bodies come in that assess you and can, charge you with fines. They could put you in jail. You can mm-hmm. lose your job, lose your license. And if you're not following standard of care, of course, they're going to say, why is that happening? So standard of care is that if you have a cardiovascular disease, that you need to be on low sodium, low fat diet. We know that's the exact opposite thing that you should do.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a diabetic, that you should be on what's called controlled carbohydrates all day long. It's the exact opposite thing you should do. So that actually promotes more insulin use, on and on and on. And so it's very frustrating that when you're tied into this thing that like you know what to do and you know where science is at. And there's a lot of people that aren't there in healthcare trying to just make money or something nefarious. They're just doing their jobs with what they've been told is the best way to proceed.
Oh, yeah. And there are some fine doctors out there. I met one last week, Dr. Timothy Dow. He's my cardiologist now with my high blood pressure, trying to help me control. And he was all into the alternative, helping me do this alternatively. And, my issues are like stress. That's the main thing. But there are a lot of good doctors out there, is my point.
It's getting better as the voices are getting louder.
Yeah.
And as there's more people like Adriana, like speaking up, mm-hmm. it's changing the way we're doing medicine. It used to be the authoritarian model where the doctor dictated to you versus, mm-hmm. Kind of like a conversation.
Well, yeah. And I was thinking about this, last week when I was at the doctor's office. A lot of people don't have a choice because they don't have the money to buy good quality food. They're barely getting by. They have to go with the prescription path, if you will, because they don't really know where to turn.
Yeah.
So many people.
Yeah. And they don't know, like,
they don't know what they don't know.
Do a deeper dive, to go seek a second opinion. Yeah. Like if you're a mom that's, a single mom that's, has $25,000 of income a year and you're listening to this guy that's in a white coat and you're like, okay, like, I guess, like, and you're obviously devastated emotionally, like, how empowered are you in that situation?
You're
like,
not.
They're essentially preying on you.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. Well, we're going to talk more about it. Adriana will continue here with us. Sean Wells talking about Keto for Kids. And we'll be right back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. Guys want to sing?
I want the world to
put your
know.
Voice up real high, Sean. That's my Charlie.
This is
voice.
The original, not the Puff Daddy and Biggie Smalls version. But it's still awesome. I like both.
Gosh. everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. Such a pleasure to have Sean Wells and Adriana Stevenson in studio. I want to let everyone know that One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with the combination of spore-form probiotics and an advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. And Wild Foods, small batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Paleo FX, Sean Wells will be there. I'm not sure if we're going to end up being on the same stage yet or not. I haven't heard, but Paleo FX, heal thyself, change the world. And for a limited time, the badges are 15% off. Is there a code for that? Because I have the old code, FX25. Is it FX15?
I think FX25 works until the end of this week.
Until the end.
And then
week.
Next week, it'll probably
okay.
be FX.
So you should get them by the end of this week.
Yep.
And go to paleofx.com. I'm really looking forward to it, aren't you?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I am. It's a great time in Austin with a lot of like-minded people or those kind of people that maybe don't know what they want to eat or think or be, but come and, you know, and gather with a bunch of like-minded, healthy people that want or people that want to be healthy. You don't have to, you know, who was it that made the point? Was it you or was it?
I think it was Mo Brosette. He
it was
said
Mo
you
Brosette.
Don't have to be... paleo to go.
Yeah, you don't have
no,
to be paleo
no, no,
to go.
No, no,
you don't
no.
have to be keto to go.
It's bigger than that.
Yeah,
it's so much bigger than that.
You just have to want to, you know, maybe carve out a better life for yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's all about moving humanity forward.
Yeah,
literally.
I'm so excited.
Absolutely. Well, and other sponsors that we have are Karma Baker. I absolutely love these cookies, and they have cookies, cakes, all kinds of stuff. They're 100% organic. They're vegan. They're gluten-free. They're wonderful. You can send them as a gift. They deliver by mail. Go to karmabaker.com and check them out. Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, Veg World Magazine, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition, which Sean Wells is a fellow of.
Hello.
And be sure to check out our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. And thank you for listening to One Life Radio and supporting our sponsors. Okay, let's get back to this. Okay, keto for kids. Adriana and Sean Wells are in studio with us. Sean Wells is a keto expert. Adriana is a mom and a keto expert as well and an advocate. She is a real food crusader. Her son Parker was diagnosed with cancer in 2016 at the age of 19 months. And okay, so let's go to this. Okay. Let's see. I'm trying to think. Where should I go with this? So what were some of your biggest challenges with feeding a child a ketogenic diet?
Well, at the beginning, he was only two. He was pre-verbal. I mean, in the sense he had a few words, but couldn't tell me if he was feeling bad. He was also on chemo when I put him on keto. So we had a lot of challenges. And it was getting him to eat, actually. And so I ended up making him my homemade cream cheese pancakes with pastured eggs, full-fat cream cheese, MCT oil, grass-fed butter, pretty much every meal for 3 months. And,
wow.
You know, and
whatever
he,
works.
And you know what? My actual thought was, this is incredibly nutrient-dense food. And
yeah.
It's in a form that a two-year-old will eat it.
Right.
And there were some days he'd eat 5 or 6 pastured eggs and butter, and he'd eat scrambled eggs and avocado and other things like that. And that's ultimately how we transitioned him into a therapeutic ketogenic diet, was feeding him the same foods on repeat that he would actually eat. And now he eats everything.
He eats everything.
He's 5 now. Yeah.
Yeah. Does he like, you know, there's a sugar-free ketchup. Did you know that, made by Primal Kitchen?
Here's the thing. When you've never fed, like I've never fed him ketchup.
Oh, good for you.
Because I was not into ketchup.
Even
when
he was ketchup.
Little. Well, I do too. I think all of those are for like,
I was raised
like
in New York,
my recovery, my food recovery. Yeah. He's not into ketchup because, I mean, maybe he's just not a ketchup kid.
He might not be.
But and my younger son is definitely more of like a sauce. He likes to dip in sauces.
Likes the condiment.
Yeah.
He's
likes
a condiment
the
boy.
My husband's a condiment guy. So. Yeah. Maybe that's where he gets it from. But Parker's never been into it. So we've never needed to use ketchup or any of those things because he never ate them.
Yeah. Well, we all consume too much sugar in this country. And that's a big problem. It is. But and they're not paying for this. I just love the sugar-free Primal ketchup because it's such a good product. And they have a spicy version,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
Have you used it?
I have.
Oh,
yeah. I like it a lot.
I'm getting low on it. I got to get an extra. I always have a backup bottle. I'm a ketchup girl. Anyway. But kids love ketchup. That's why I brought
it
up.
Kids love ketchup. And you can mix it with MCT oil to help. Mm-hmm. That's a great
really?
Way. That's a great way to start getting their ratios higher with a higher fat. Because people think that a ketogenic diet is like a high protein diet. And it's not. It is high fat.
High
moderate
fat.
high fat, moderate protein, low carbohydrate. And so, you know, I always tell parents, like, identify the top 10 foods that your kids like, and then let's find like keto alternatives for them and kind of crutches to help them along the way at the beginning.
Well, I brought in the book Ketotarian by Dr. Will Cole, who's a huge keto advocate as well. That's got a lot of great recipes in it and a lot of advice for a new starter or Dr. Nasha Winner's book. There's so many, Dr. Dom DiAgostino, so many people that we've had on the show that are huge into keto. So what advice would you give families considering a therapeutic ketogenic diet for their kids like Christy?
To be patient with yourself at the beginning and to not wait for the exact right time to get started. There's no perfect time. You know, I've been doing this almost 3 years, and at the beginning I had no idea what I was doing. And I just started. I made mistakes along the way. Just keep chugging along. Ultimately, like, you have your big goal at the end of getting your child either disease-free or getting their seizures managed or helping their other behavior issues that are going on. So ultimately, that's what I would say, is just be patient with yourself, be open to learning things, and realize things will change as your child's tastes change, too. I mean, if you're coming from a standard American diet, it's going to be tough at first, but not impossible to do. And that's one of the things I try to share with parents, too, is that it doesn't have to be complicated, right? It's simple meals, simple food. And the good thing is fat makes food taste good.
Oh, it does. Absolutely. Well, you know, okay, so Parker, how is he doing now? And at what point did you, so when you started him on the ketogenic diet and then you kept going in for diagnostics to see how his progress was, tell us that part of the story.
So, yeah, it was a leap of faith to put him on keto. The very first MRI after starting him on keto, 3 months later, this is amazing, all post-surgical edema was resolved, like gone completely.
Whoa.
And the tumor was 30% smaller. And I was like, aha, I knew it. And it was, I really believe, you know, working in conjunction with the chemotherapy. It's that press pulse theory that Dr. D'Agostino, you know, and Dr. Seyfried have worked on. And from there, every single subsequent MRI got better and better. And December of 2018, his tumor was totally gone. We got the NED, the magic letters, no evidence of disease.
Oh, my gosh.
That was the same last June. And his next scan is in April. Well, it'll be 10 months. Very hard for me to wait that long. But I'm, of course, always hopeful. He's still a keto kid. I hope it's enough to keep that tumor gone forever.
Wow. Do you plan on keeping him on the ketogenic diet?
You know, people,
and did you get a lot of slack from other parents? I can only imagine.
You know, I was going to say one important thing is
not slack. That's not what. That's not the word
I
meant to use.
No, absolutely, it's actually changing
criticism,
changing the narrative around it. And I don't talk when I talk to other parents about it. I don't necessarily call it a diet. I call it nutritional therapy, because most of these brain tumor kiddos, they need speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, feeding therapy. This is nutritional therapy. It is just as valid as any of those other interventions. And so it's changing the narrative around it, that it's not a fad diet. Mm-hmm. It's actually a medical way of eating that is therapeutic. So that's one of the ways I've gone around it.
Anything you want to add to this, Sean?
Yeah, totally agree. Like, in the West, we desperately need this to fix ourselves, because we're so broken metabolically. And this is, we should be dual fuel. We should be using glucose for fuel and using ketones for fuel. And so it's just tapping back into that kind of ancestral fuel that we've somehow lost.
Yeah.
And growing brains need fat.
Absolutely.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. What do you want to say? You have about a minute before the show ends.
Gosh, what do I want to say?
You can come back, so you don't have to worry.
I just want parents to know that it's just food. You know, there's so much fear at the beginning. Your kids are facing life-threatening situations, and it can seem really scary to all of a sudden change what they eat. But ultimately, it's just food, and it puts life into perspective, right?
I mean,
a childhood, healthy and happy childhood is so much more than sugar. And that goes for kids that are battling cancer and just regular healthy kids, too. Mm-hmm. So I want parents to know that they do have choices.
I love it. And I it's been so great to have you on the show. I can't wait to get you back in studio. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and be contagiously positive.